Hey, what's up, Long Beach? I'm your host, Julia Goldman, and you're tuning into Season 4, Episode 3 of Artist Banter, a daily 49er original podcast that delves into the many manifestations of artistry within our local scene. I'm here with a very special guest and local business owner of Verse Collective, Shira Togle. Hey, Shira, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone and tell everyone what you do?
My name is Shira. So I work as an inventory specialist during the day until I can go art full time. So for the time being, I rent a studio and I do quite a lot of different mediums that goes between acrylic painting, tufting, clay work, metal work. I'm about to start working with silversmithing as well.
That's so cool. Yeah, you have like honestly an incredibly fascinating portfolio.
Thank you.
With between all of those different mediums that you do, can I ask you how like artistry began?
I've always sketched when I was younger. I've always wanted to do different forms of creating. Music was a big one when I was growing up. So singing, just any form of like expression was really predominant when I was young. And then as I got older, it kind of phased out for a while as I started to prioritize college. And while I was studying psychology, there was just so much mental exhaustion, I guess, that I had to kind of prioritize my studies. And then after I graduated, I was like, okay, well, now what? And then the pandemic came, and that was kind of when I was forced to sit down and really just reconsider what my priorities were and what made me feel more fulfilled. So I started to pick up different things that I had done when I was a kid. So the sketching, doodling, yarn, clay, even finger painting was like really fun for me. And then eventually I landed on polymer clay, and that translated into making the jewelry that I make now. When I was a kid, I had also just absolutely adored just natural elements. So I would always just want to be like outside. I grew up in the desert, so there was a lot of snakes, lizards. I would take strolls where I would find a lot of where coyotes had passed naturally, and just remnants of life. And I was really excited about that. And my mom was pretty grossed out, so I had to put that on the back burner. But when 2020 hit, that kind of revitalized everything for me. And so I started to combine everything that I started to learn. And then that resulted in these weird, I call them realms now, where I try to replicate and preserve and honor these natural elements that feature like dried moss, insects, and bones and things like that. But they bring me a lot of joy, but also a lot of appreciation for little details in life. So when it comes to just going out on walks and things like that, now I'm more attentive to tiny little things like tiny little flowers and mushrooms that are sprouting from trees. And it just makes me more appreciative of just life in general.
That's really cool. That's so neat. So you work with this like kind of like bioorganic preservation. And I've seen like that you collect some items from vintage stores. You obtain others like ethically or straight from nature, like you were talking about. Do you think you could like walk me through what the creation of something like this looks like for one of your like insect terrariums?
So that some of them take like months in the process. So what I do is when it comes to just finding the terrarium itself or what they're going to be enclosed in, that takes a while. I'll go to either estate sales, thrift shops, things like that. And it's really taught me to be more, inventive about the way that I look at things. So just recently I found this clock that wasn't working. And the inside of it was filled with a bunch of like old, like kitchen decor, like, you know, the traditional like roosters, apples, things like that.
Really?
Yeah. Super barn core. And, but when I looked at it, I was like, oh, this will be a really cool shadow box. So I took it home and I gutted it, repainted it, restained it. And I got the clock working. And then so that had been sitting in my studio for months. And then as I had that, when I would go on walks and things like that's in the back of my brain. So I start collecting flowers. I start collecting like little tree branches, tiny pine cones, things like that. It's a little bit easier when it comes to other like past insects that have passed naturally in like, you know, June or July when it's their season. So the winter times, I kind of take a step back and I just, you know, chill and focus on other things like painting. But in the spring and summer, that's when I'm more active outside. And I start to network too with the people around me. I work with people who work in gardens. I work with people who work at sanctuaries that harbor animals that were from all different places. And then also indigenous hunting and gathering groups. So there's a wide variety of places that I source all of my things, but I'm very meticulous and I need to know exactly where they where their story is and where they came from before I feel good about using them in my pieces.
Yeah. May I ask why?
There is a lot of unethical practices, like poaching is a big one. And it's just, there's so many ways of falling into what's just convenient. And my focus and the priority that came from just using natural elements to begin with was finding things that would just age gracefully, naturally, and once they inevitably return to the earth, you know, that they try to do as minimal harm as possible. So I also try to use more like vegetable-based resins. I try to stay away from plastics as much as possible, though it's not entirely unavoidable. It's like some adhesives and things. But for the most part, I'm very conscientious about the materials that I use.
That's incredible. I'm kind of curious. We heard about how this was kind of born into creation. When did the artistry begin to shift into something that was kind of like from a business angle, like the creation of your business versus collective?
So I wanted to be able to keep doing what made me feel fulfilled instead of the 9-to-5 that I was doing. And if I had the choice, I wouldn't. It's not my preference to monetize the things that I do. I would much prefer to like barter or trade, but unfortunately we still have bills to pay. So it's not really something that I could get around, but I do try to vary the pricing so that way there's a little bit of something for everybody. But the goal for it is for it to not stay a business, but it to be a concept that I hope to expand and share. And inevitably I want it to be a... hopefully a warehouse where it would function as somewhat like a co-op where people could more so share resources within it and explore inside of it rather than it being just strictly a business model.
Wow. That wasn't the answer I was expecting. That's really like, that's like a very honorable reason to start a business. When it began, did you have this like same goal in mind? Like what was your mindset then?
Back then I was just trying to find ways to sustain myself so I could keep doing what I was doing. When I first started, I was making clay art and yarn tufting pieces in my kitchen living room. And we lived in a pretty, like, it's a decent sized apartment, but not necessarily equipped for what I was doing. So I was just sitting on the kitchen table and I was like, okay, what can I do to, you know, so that I can keep doing this? So I would start to branch out to other small business owners, different markets within the city. So I would pop up quite frequently. And then I started to venture out and start popping up in LA, Orange County, towards like the Torrance area, and just meeting more people. And so that way, if I was able to keep monetizing it, then I could keep investing in the materials that I needed and just keep going. So it wasn't necessarily me trying to get like a profit, but just so that I could sustain it so I could keep doing it.
Yeah, completely. I understand what you're saying too about like needing eventually the space.
Yeah.
It sounds like to me so much of like what you do is gathering. Like
it's gathering. It's a lot of storing. Yeah. It's definitely a hobgoblin zone in my studio. So I'm very thankful for it, but couldn't do it in my living room.
In this time, like do you have any lessons that you've learned about being a business owner that you'd like to share?
I think it's just about prioritizing authenticity for me. I think that I've worked for a lot of small businesses. I've worked retail for a while. And I think it's very easy for us to get so sucked into making that money and just trying to survive. And while I think that we're going to keep needing to do that, I think that prioritizing the people around us and making those connections has helped like sustain us to keep going. So what I've learned as I've grown up with this is that I want to share it, if that makes sense. So I don't want to necessarily own this as a business. I want to share it. I want it to be something that's more of a concept that encourages people and just makes them feel like they're really like part of something. And I used to think I didn't like people. I used to think that I was pretty introverted, kind of pessimistic, and just not really down to talk to people. And that was kind of reinforced when we were in the pandemic. Of course, like we were, you know, in isolation, and after a while, I realized, like no, actually, I actually love people. I love them a lot. And being in Verse has taught me that. It's taught me that as I've popped up and connected with people, that I get a lot of joy and excitement by connecting to these people. And I learn in so many different ways of using mediums that I never would have thought about previously, or different ways of connecting and sharing resources and things that I just never would have thought of before.
Totally. Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about being a business, and definitely like beginning part of that, like there's an element that has to function, but at the same time, like the collective part is like entirely as true, like the sourcing, the creation, the what is shared between, it's a complete like group effort, you know? I think you talked a little bit about it, but what would you know, your goals for Verse Collective like look like in the future for you?
Ooh, it's my favorite. So what I envision for it is for it to be, again, be like, I think it would, a warehouse would be more realistic, because I need it to be somewhere large that can encompass everything. But ideally, it would be sectioned off into a couple of different things. So a portion of it would be dedicated to resources on learning. So books about different trades and skills, art mediums, things like that, where people can just like read and explore. Yeah. Another section would be dedicated to the actual workshop. So that's where we're going to have more of like the bigger machinery and pieces and things that maybe people wouldn't normally have access to, as these materials and equipment are very expensive for the most part. So I want people to have access. And then there's also going to be another section dedicated to barter and trade. So that way we can, you know, just share our excitements and gifts and creations with each other. But of course, we still have bills to pay. So selling will be a part of that as well. And then maybe some artist residencies where people can just like have studio space and remain there. But the goal, though, is basically to facilitate learning and sharing amongst everybody. I have ADHD, so I know that I'm not the only one in this, but I love to try and do so many different things, but I usually can't because they're expensive. I feel that if everybody had access to these type of resources, that they would be better able to explore and find out what's important for them. I think oftentimes we end up feeling like we need to commit to something because of like the sunken cost into it, feeling like we've already committed so much time, energy, and money to this thing that this is the only thing that now we can do and should do. But then we find out that maybe that's not what sparks passion for us or excitement, or maybe it served its purpose in one time of our life and maybe it no longer does it later. So I want us to feel like we're not locked into something, and that, you know, we're always free to explore, and that it would ultimately, I think, cultivate a bunch of new skills that would benefit the community as a whole.
Yeah. Incredibly noble. And what you're talking about is like a common theme that I hear between the artists that I interview is like, oh, yeah, I began with pen and paper, you know, the most accessible one. It's cheap. And, like, it is completely based off of accessibility. Like, exploring those kinds of things is a huge sink. Having the opportunity to use those kinds of tools, like, it really only comes, you know, if you're here on, like, a college campus, you could go and rent out those things, possibly. But at the same time, if you're not an art major, you can't go do those things.
Exactly,
and it's, like, thousands and thousands of dollars in tuition. Like, I think that's incredibly noble. That's what I'm trying to say. Lastly, the last couple of things, I think we're wrapping up. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I guess there is. There's a huge disability component to it. I do want it to be accessible in that way, too. So not just financially accessible, but I also want it to be accessible for different folk with different disabilities. I personally have Ehlers-Danlos. I know that my ability to work with the mediums that I do now may be limited in the future. I'm already starting to lose the ability to use my hands as much as I used to. The joints start to hurt. I can't really bend them as well. So I was really forced to reckon with the fact that I would need to expand maybe if I didn't even want to, you know. For example, going from painting with a paintbrush to finger painting was a big one for me. So I think having access to different mediums is a really good way for people to realize that just because they lose their ability to do one thing doesn't mean that's the end of it, that they can adapt and they can learn new things and they can create something new that works for them.
It's a very empowering message. Do you have any upcoming ideas, events, or restocks that you'd like to talk about?
I just rented out a space in Casa Deluxe on Retro Row, where I will be selling my stuff there full time. I'm pretty excited about. But there will also be another shop that will be popping up in Retro Row called Lucky mm-hmm. Penny. And I will be having some stuff there that will be different. And that mm-hmm. one's forcing me to, that one's challenging me because I don't, it shouldn't compete, of course, with the items that are Costa Deluxe. So I have to create something entirely new. Mm-hmm. And that's what's for, that's what's pushed me into the direction of working with Sterling. So I'll be working with Silver Clay. I'm integrating that as well. But yeah.
That's so exciting.
I'm really excited.
Do you know the dates for it?
So the stuff at Casa Deluxe is already up and running. Mm-hmm. Lucky Penny will be having its grand opening, I believe, in early March, too. So
congratulations.
Got a lot of stuff to look forward to.
Congratulations. And then lastly, where can people find your shop? Where can people find you?
So you can find me at my website, which is verse-collective.com. There's also my Instagram, verse_collective. And then pop-ups throughout the city, which I will post on that Instagram. And then Casa Deluxe at full-time on Retro Row.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here today, Shira. It was awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I loved hearing about your business and it was incredibly inspirational.
Thank you.
If you want to hear more from Long Beach's own contributors of art and music or follow along for future conversations, check out our website, daily49er.com, and our socials at daily49er. To see a collection of Shira's work and follow along with their journey, check out their Instagram. It's at verse_collective. That's verse_collective. We appreciate you being here. Take care and see you soon.